Good evening, good morning, whatever time it is, wherever you are, God is right there with you. We're going to welcome you to Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, 45 Church Street, Peterman, Tunnel Springs, Alabama, 36471, telephone number 1-251-564-2171. The church where everybody is somebody and Christ is the head. Reverend Waylon Oliver is our pastor, Sister Joyce Oliver is our First Lady. The clerk is Miss Lisa Starworth. Sunday school is every Sunday morning, and like many churches throughout this nation, our Sunday school is being done and broadcast over the internet at Blog Talk Radio. I'm your Sunday school teacher, Deacon Freddie C. Howard, here at Antioch Baptist Church in Tunnel Springs, where we broadcast the Sunday school service every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. You can share and listen at your convenience, whatever time that is. We worship on second, fourth, and fifth Sundays. Normally, it's at 11 a.m., but we have been doing Sunday school this every morning. I mean, church service is now about 8 o'clock in the morning. This Sunday, we will be having communion, the Last Supper. And we hope that you will come out and participate if the weather permitting. As we know, there are storms headed this way, but God's work still must continue. On behalf of all of us here at House Evangelism Gospel Blog Talk Radio, we want to thank all of you for joining us. the lesson for today, August the 23rd, is Bite Your Tongue. It's a common saying that a lot of all of us here bite your tongue. That means perhaps you shouldn't say what you want to say, but you should say what you should say. And sometimes you can't do that at certain times. You have to be able to know when to speak and when not to speak and what to speak and what not to speak. The devotional reading will come from Isaiah, the 50th chapter, verses 4 through 11. The background scripture comes in from James, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 12. The printed text also comes from James, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 12. Let us go to the throne. Our Father and Savior Jesus Christ, a merciful and kind Father, in spite of our iniquity, we thank you for this platform. We thank you for the opportunity to speak your words of truth from your words, the Bible. And we hope that it be a message to those that need to hear your word this day and this hour. Loving God, we know that you know we have called us to be your hands and feet here in the world. And today during this pandemic virus is more so than ever. We need us as men and women to be your hands and feet here in the world. We thank you for giving us a spirit of ministry, of wanting to be doers for the least of these. As we go forth, we ask you, Lord, to keep us humble by ensuring that you get all the glory. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. We pray for our pastor, Sister Reverend Oliver. We pray for the First Lady, Sister Oliver, and all of those that are part of the church, and the deacons and all that are continuing to go on, in the name of Jesus. For that, we are eternally grateful and thankful. We're going to begin with the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday scriptures and studies that you should take in preparations for today's Sunday school, coming from James the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 12. James the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 12. Let us begin with Proverbs, the 5th chapter, and verses 7 through 14. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this situation and the state that I'm in as we begin to speak to our fellow believers. It is unwise not to listen to teachers. What a timely scripture for beginning of schools throughout this nation under different conditions, where students are not in the classroom facing with the teacher. They are at a distance through computers and other media sources being taught at a regular school. This will go on for locally here in Beatrice and Monroeville and around here for, I believe, 9 or 10 weeks. Proverbs, the 5th chapter, verses 7 through 14. Let us begin. The 7th chapter. The 5th chapter of the 7th verse, rather. Here we go. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not here near the door of her house, lest I give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy laborer be in the house of aliens, and thou mourn at the least when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. And say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teacher, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Powerful words here. It means immorality rebuked. It means doing wrong, doing sinful things, pornography, lying, stealing, killing. It's instructions against those things. Your father taught you against them. Your mother taught you against those things. Your grandmother taught you. Your grandfather taught you. Your teacher, your preacher, your Sunday school teacher instructed all of us in how to behave and what to do and what not to do. But one of the things that is very clear about that, it is unwise not to listen to your teacher that teaches you the proper and rightful thing to do. Proverbs, the 5th chapter, verses 7 through 14. Let's go to Tuesday. The testimony of a wise teacher. The testimony of a wise teacher. Okay, as we were saying, the humiliation of the Holy One, which will be coming from Isaiah, the 50 chapter, verses 4 through 11, the testimony of a wise teacher, the taming of the tongue, bite your tongue, and the taming of the tongue is something that a lot of us have yet to manage. The tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire can kindle. That's in James, the 3rd chapter, in the 5th verse. This is in our Sunday school lesson, which is going to be coming from James, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 12. Taming of the tongue. And there's a caption in regards to the tongue as a snake. And as we know, the snake was an animal that was used in the Garden of Eden to deceive Eve. Thus Eve deceived her husband, Adam. Thus all mankind was deceived and brought on the evil of death, sin, the cause of damage in the world forever and ever until we die and return to Jesus Christ. We must battle to be restored to Jesus Christ through the danger of the tongue. And word says, being deceived. It is very timely for today as we listen to what is going on politically and how we are being pushed and pulled and torn as we deal with today's political vote coming up. It is only thing that I can say to you is God asks you to fulfill your responsibility to vote as a citizen, is that you pray and you ask God to guide you and do as your heart wills you to do through the directions of God, so forth, who do you vote and what you vote for and things of that nature. Let us continue with Isaiah, the 50th chapter, verses 4 through 11. And it reads as follows. The Lord God had given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear like the learned. Be wise and understand what you hear, and speak wisely to what you say to your brothers and sisters. The Lord God, verse 5, the Lord God had opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned backward. A lot of people are rebellious today. A lot of people think rebellion is something good. There is a reason to rebel against evil. God tells you to do so, tell you to speak up, tell you to stand up, act up. As John Lewis said, get in some good trouble about things that are evil in the world, regardless of what it is. And the most prevalent thing in the world today, evil, is racism. Racism. Let's go to verse number 6. I gave my back to this smiter. Smitter, that's somebody that attacked you with a hidden on you. And my cheek to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. In other words, whenever you stand up against wrong, these things are going to happen to you. People are going to attack you. They're going to cuss you. They're going to kill you. They're going to do you like they did Jesus. Let's go to verse number 7. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. In other words, it's going to be attacked. A flint, you know what a flint is? It's a rub, and it creates a spark when you're hit and you're damaged. But yet and still, you stand firm that I shall not be ashamed. Let's go to verse number 8. Verse number 8. He is near who justifies me, who will contend with me. Let us stay together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Listen to that. He is near who justifies. He's talking about Jesus Christ, God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He's with you. He's there. Who will contend with me? In other words, he's going to battle with you, contending. God's going to battle with you. It's going to be all right. Just hold on. Let us stand together. Stand with Jesus Christ. Stand with what's right. All of you that are standing against the wiles of the devil and the darts of the devil, stand together. Stand with Jesus. Who is mine adversary? Stand against your adversary. Stand with your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your mother, your father. Sometimes mother going to be against you, father going to be against you, father, brother and sister going to be against you, but you still stand with Jesus Christ, with those that are standing against the evils of the world. Let him come near to me. Oh, look at that. Let's look at verse 9. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall grow old like a garment. The moth shall eat them up. In other words, stay. God's going to take care of the evil. God's going to take care of the one. It may not be happening right now. It may not be happening to the very second. But be patient. Hold on. God's going to take care of the evil ones, the ones that do you wrong. Stay there. God is still good. He will do what he said he's going to do. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall. I grow old like a garment. The moth shall eat them up. The ones that's going to condemn you, I'm not repeating that verse. It's Satan, the deceiver, the liar. He's been doing it for all eternity. He's been doing it for a long time. Started in the Garden of Eden, as we spoke before. Let's go to verse number 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Stay with God. Don't deal with the darkness. Right now, we're looking at the situation in this country with the president and the voting, what's going on. Now, for whatever reason, President, Donald Trump deals with speaking things, it just from my perspective as a Christian, from my perspective as a man, a human being in this world, and what I know about God, it just looks like President Trump loves to deal with things on the evil side of things, on the dark side of things, on the dark side of human nature. We know that in the world there's all kinds of things going on. And I can speak to you from a loving, kind, caring, understanding, empathetic for your situation type situation. In other words, you're going through pain. I can speak to you from my experience of the pain that it's going to be all right. It may be hurting right now. But it appears to me, and I don't know how about you, but it appears that this president doesn't have that voice of speaking to empathy and when you're in pain and with you when you're speaking of loving and caring. It just looked like he deals with the harshness, the hard part, the hurt part, and pulls on the evil side of us instead of going with the good side of us. That's to me. I don't know about you. And when I vote, I'm going to vote according to that. And I hope you do too. If you believe in the harsh and the evilness and the hard things and the hurting side of a human being and like to deal with it, like folks are hurting and need pain, medicines, different stuff, you're not going to give it to them. But then you just appear to be just so bland that you just can't reach out and touch the ones that is hurting or been hurt. Something is wrong with me when that comes up. He says he used a term, it is what it is. I don't know. It's just like saying, whatever. It's hard for me to understand a person coming from that perspective. Let's look at the last verse here from Isaiah 50, chapter verses 4 through 11. And the 11th verse says this: Behold, all ye that kindle a fire. When they say kindle a fire, you can take a match and scratch a match and start a fire. Guess what? You can kindle a fire with your voice. You can kindle a fire with hateful words. You can kindle a fire with evil words about people that do evil, praising people that do evil. You can kindle that. In other words, you can embolden those folks that do evil. You can embolden those folks that lie all the time. By you praising them and uplifting them and bringing them like they something special. They are liar, they are thieves, they are killers, they are whatever. It is not good to speak good of those and raise those folks up. That's just to say they are good folks. Like you say, they are good folks on both sides. No, one side is evil, one side is just. One side is of Christ, one side is of the devil. Okay. Behold, all you that kindle a fire. You can kindle a fire with your tongue that compass yourselves. In other words, you kindle a fire and it would burn you up. It would burn you up. When Satan deceived Eve, that death that was brought on by that deception in that Garden of Eden is still consuming us today. We are still dying every day. We have a pandemic. We have a virus that is killing people, that killed over 172,000 people personally, that you know, friends that you know. That's death is death, and the wages of sins is death. I'm going to die as a result of the wages of sin. You are going to die as the wages of sin. I don't care who you are. The wages of sin is death, and God is telling you to be wise, and you can kindle that fire of evil and deception with your tongue. About with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the spark that you have kindled. This shall ye have a mind hand, ye shall lie down and sorrow. Look at that verse. Behold, all you that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have a mind hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Woo! What a word. Lord have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Ooh, the testimony of a wise teacher. Let's go from to the next one. Slander and abusive language are not allowed. Slander. You can slander somebody with your voice, with your word. You can talk about them like a dog. You can talk them. You can. Oh, look at that. Do you know what slander means? And abusive language is not allowed. That's in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 11. Turn with us to Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 11. Let us continue. We are at Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 11. The believer's union with Christ, now and hereafter. Christian living. Abusive language are not allowed. Do not speak in abusive manner to your fellow Christians or to anybody. Speak of love and kindness. Speak of good things toward each other. Let us begin with verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Jesus Christ came to this earth down through 42 generations. 42 generations, including Rahab the harlot, is in his lineage or in his family line. Good as well as evil people have been able to be in God's family bloodline by doing what is right. Doing what is right. Look at verse 2. Set your affections on things above and not on things on earth. Things that are going on here on earth with Satan running the world. There is the Spirit of Christ here through you and I as Christians and trying to do right and teach right and live in an upright manner. Though we stumble and fall and get back up, we are here on earth where we are surrounded by the evils of mankind trying to destroy you through mankind. You are the hands and feet of God. You can do right. You can lead people to Christ. But you can't save people. You can tell people about what God is doing in your life. You can tell people about how you overcome cancer. You can tell people about how God overcame your stroke with brain damage and bleeding on the brain and how God has restored you. But even though you have come through those things, don't go back to where you were before. You struggle and fall, but you keep right on fighting anyway. Let's look at verse number 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You are dead to the world's sins if you live with Christ and act like Christ and do like Christ tell you. Look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Though you go through all kinds of hard and rough times now, God will still supply you. Even though they may kill you and slay you here on earth, when you come back again, you come back with Christ. Your body will be quickened with the Holy Spirit, just like God quickened Jesus in the grave through the Holy Spirit and raised him from the dead. Stay with Jesus Christ. Stay with Jesus Christ. We're in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 11. Let's go to verse number 5. Christian living. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. All of those things that you do that are not of Christ, fornication, homosexuality, gay, lesbian, stealing, being involved in things that are not of Christ, all of those things are evil. And they are of Satan. Do not do those things because it is the wages. That is sin, and the payment for those things is death. The payment for those things is death. Let's go to verse number 6. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the sons of disobedience. That when he speak of the wrath of God, in other words, God will repay you with death for those things that you do. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap to the flesh. You know not that right now there are a lot of men and women suffering from cancer from whatever reason. A lot of men suffer from prostate cancer, a lot of from all kinds of diseases and things that are going on. If you sow to the flesh, if you love and indwell and do evil in the flesh, God going to pay you with the flesh. through pain and strife and things that you will have to endure here on earth. You could be a case of like Job. God could pick out you to go through something just because you are a believer to test, see can will Satan break you. There's also, you can suffer justifiably because of your sin. You can suffer unjustified because of your sin, because God used you as a test vehicle. All right, let's go to verse number 7. In the which ye also once walked when ye lived in them. He's talking about when you was a sin. You once walked in sin and did in sin. You can come out. Let's look at verse number 8. But now ye also put on all these angers, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filth, communication out of your mouth. Speaking filth and cussing coming out of your mouth. That's not good. That's sin. That's evil. That's evil. If not known, somebody going through something and you cussing them and talking about them. Not being spiritually uplifted in your words and how you talk to people and speaking down on folks and with profanity. All right. Look at verse number 8. But now ye also put on all these angers. Oh, look at that. Let's go to verse 9. With communication that come out of your mouth. Let's go to verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Lie not to one another. Don't lie to each other. It has been said, and it has been written in many articles about the president of this nation, how many lies he have told. Why is that? Why does he speak so many lies? Politicians speaking lies. Different people speaking lies. Speak the truth. All right? Let's go to verse number 10. And have put on the new man that is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on a new man like Christ. Do like Christ. Don't lie. Tell the truth. Don't steal. Don't be doing stuff underhanded, backhanded. Whenever you're dealing in your business, try to be as truthful as best as you can. Tell the truth. If you make a mistake, acknowledge you make a mistake. Be truthful and upright like Christ, like. Be Christ-like. Okay, let's go to verse number 10. And put on the new man that is renewed. We just got through saying that. Put on that new man. The man of image and Christ created that was created through Jesus Christ, our Creator. Verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarians, Caesarean, born not free, but Christ in all and in all. In other words, don't get caught up in your color, your skin, your money you got, all those different things. There is not born nor free in Christ. You are all in Jesus Christ, and he makes you a new person. Don't go walk in the old you that was years ago from your teenage years or to the years when you worked and you said, you kill my dog, I'm going to kill your cat. Come out from that. Walk upright in a manner that is with Christ Jesus. All right, let's go to Psalms 119, 169, 176. Song, use the tongue to speak God's praise. Use the tongue to speak God's praise. Okay, we're at Psalms 119, and we will go to stanzas 169 through 176. And we begin with 169, Tav, T-A-V, Tav. Let me cry, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy words. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. 171, my lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy stature. My tongue shall speak of thy words, for all my commandments are righteous. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Let thine ordinance help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandment. You're speaking of, use the tongue to speak God's praise. No matter what your situation is, no matter what you're going through, you're lost. Rest assured, God will guide you to where you need to be. I have gone astray. All of us have sinned and fallen short of God. Let my soul live, for if you continue to dwell in sin, your soul will die. I have longed for that salvation, longed for Jesus Christ to save you. My tongue shall speak of thy word. My tongue shall speak of the goodness of Jesus Christ and God and how he has done. My lips shall utter praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Even though you're in pain and going through suffering, let your praise come from Jesus Christ. Still utter the praise. Let my cry come to me. Let me, when they're crying out, let my cry be heard from you, Jesus Christ. Let my cry from me, hear my cry. In spite of my iniquity, in spite of my sins, God will still hear your cry. Cry out to him. Give me understanding according to thy words. God's words will give you the understanding of what your sins resulted in, what you have did in this life, and who you mistreated and who you uplifted and how you lived in this life. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. Supplication. You know what? You pour yourself out before Jesus Christ. I yield to, whatever you're going through, forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me for doing this. Whatever it is, bring it before Christ in earnest and in from your heart. Use the tongue to speak God's praise. Okay, let's turn to Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. Believers anointed with fire and tongues. Believers anointed with fire and tongues. Talking about the Holy Spirit. Talking about the Holy Spirit. We begin from Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. From Pentecost to the conversion of Saul, 2 through 8. Six dispensing of the church. Pentecost, the Spirit sent from heaven. When Jesus Christ was coming to earth, he said that I go away to prepare a place for you. But then he's telling us about that. If he don't go, the Holy Spirit will come, the Comforter, which will take care of you during these terrible times here on earth. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truths, no matter what your situation is or what you're going through. Let us begin with Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Jesus Christ is gone, and this is the beginning and end of the Holy Spirit. And certainly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Verse number 3, and there appeared unto them clove tongues as of fire. It sat upon each of them. And this is verse number 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues, with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse number 5. And there were indwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation and under heaven. Look at that. All types of men will be speaking in tongue and know the Holy Spirit. You are a human being here on earth, and you are born again of Christ. He will indwell you with and give you the Holy Spirit to guide you and comfort you and direct you and lead you into the search of all truths to protect you. He left the Holy Spirit here to take care of us until he returned. The one sin that God will not forgive is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. In other words, God left this earth. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, waiting for you to call on him. But for those of you who hate Jesus Christ and talk against Jesus Christ being here with us alive through the Holy Spirit, God will not forgive you for that. Now when this was noised above, and multitudes came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. No matter what language you speak, the Holy Spirit will speak to you in that language so that you can understand God's word, understand what other people would say. The awesome power of the Holy Spirit, all-knowing, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity of God, the third entity of God, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verse number seven, and it reads, And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these who speak Galatians? In other words, they at the time where they were, he was saying all these who are speak Galatian, when they speak Galatian, when they speak in a different language, regardless of what language that is, or whatever, you all understanding each other. Look at verse 8. And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Look at that. No matter, you come out of Africa, you come out of Germany, you come out of Spain, you come out of Italy, and you have a different language. You know how when they were building the Tower of Babel and how God confused all the language, the Holy Spirit will make you understand and understand each other no matter what language they speak. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verse number 9. Phasian, Medes, and the Elamites, and the dwellers. He's talking about the different people that were there during the, when the Holy Spirit was sent down. Mesopotamians, and in Judea, and in Capernaum, and Pontus, and Asia. Oh, look at that. Pyrene, Pelopsa, Egypt, and the parts of Libya, Cyrene, the Sojourners, the Rome, both Jews and Apostolite. And everybody's being understood. The power of God. All their language, no matter what language you're speaking, they were understanding and hearing each other. Even though, you know, I'm standing here with an African and he's in a German. He's speaking in African and you speaking in German, whoever's speaking in German, yet and still you understand each other. The Holy Spirit. Christians, Arabian, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wondrous works of God. And look at the 12th verse. Look at that 12th verse. And they were all amazed and were perplexed, saying one to another, what means this? What it means was that God has sent the Holy Spirit to dwell with man, to be in man, to lead man, to guide man, to lead man into all truth. Don't be just about all the stuff that's being spoken of now during this political thing. Dwell with the Holy Spirit. Ask God to give you the understanding to know what's going on. Ask God to know what's going on with the post office, whatever the stuff that's being said, one side doing this, one side doing that. Don't get all caught up in all that stuff. You firmly hang on and stay with Jesus Christ and ask God through the Holy Spirit to let you understand that you will be guided in the right direction, that you won't be pulled and turned in different directions through the falsehood and the lies of mankind. Powerful words indeed. That's Acts the 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 12. We will go now to tongues and teachers are good gifts. Tongues and teachers are God's gift. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 27 through 31. 1 Corinthians. We hope that you have turned to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 27 through 31. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, 27 through 31. Let's begin at 27, and it reads, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Speaking of you that have been born again, you are in the body of Christ. You are part of Christ. Christ is governance. God is guiding you. Christ is your leader. Christ is in you. You are speaking from the Holy Spirit. You're being kind. You're being loving. In spite of all of the things that are going on around you in the world, you are in Christ. Let's look at 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, help, government, diversities of tongue. Look at that. Look at that. There are all kinds of folks in the church, and God have separated and put them together to work together as the hands and the fingers on one hand and on the other right and the left hand. You're interacting in different parts. You're not all the same. You have different responsibilities and you have different tasks in the body of Christ. Let's read that again. Understand this thoroughly. And watch something I want you to talk about. You know, folks talk about how the government and government this and government that and all this. Some people hating the government. What is that? God makes allowance for the government. It's the reason for the government. Let's read it again. And God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. That folks that can perform miracles, can do things through Jesus Christ. Then gifts of healing. Gifts of healing. That's folks that can touch and heal folks. They are here. They are in earth. They're in God's church. God's allowed that. He does that through the Holy Spirit. He helps. Government. Look at that. Governments. Look at that. Government. There are good governments and bad governments. There's all kinds. It's government. God puts government here. If you didn't have government, you have total anarchy. Total anarchy. Don't get all caught up in talking about the government this and the government against it, folks fighting against the government. Hey, that's rebellion. God put government here for a reason. Governments. Diversities of tongue. I mean, different tongues to speak different languages. For all the different people in the world to reach all the human beings on the earth through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. God does it all. God does it all. Let's look at verse number 29. Verse number 29, and it reads, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracle? No, they are not. But they are there. There are some that do, some don't. Some do one thing, some do another thing. You notice how some people, when folks get in trouble, they can talk and soothe them and calm them down. Then you got folks that can do different things and encourage people in different ways. God makes it all possible through the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verse number 30. Have all the gifts of healing? No, don't all have healing. Do they all speak with tongues? No, they do not. Do all interpret? No, they do not. Everybody has a task. Certain people do certain things. God allows that. Okay? Then the thing about you as a human being, know what your task is. Know what your calling is. I'm a worker. I'm a laborer. I'm a day-to-day digging in the dirt, working hand in hand. I believe that's how God made me. Man, some people can come up with all the bright ideas how to do today, but God, I believe God make Fred Howard a worker. God make Fred Howard a goer, a doer. That's, you know what I'm saying? I believe that's what he could. He didn't give me the brains to run the world or to run the country or run the whole organization. He gave me the brains of a facilitator, a worker, to make it possible, to be an example of someone that labors day in and day out. That's who I believe God made Fred Howard to be. Okay, let's look at, and you should know your calling, who you are. You know what you do best, and you know what you do right, and what God has empowered you to do through the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's look at verse number 31. This is the last one. But covet it earnestly and best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. But covet earnestly the best gifts. Hey, he's talking about the best gifts, the things that are good. I mean, be proud of them. Be not arrogantly proud of it, but knowing that God made you to be able to do, to see all these different gifts in different people, okay? It's okay to praise somebody for doing what's right and what's good, but do not let that praise become an idol and a god for you. But be praised and be thankful that God let you see the good in other people and what other folks done, the ones that is a healer, the one that can do miracles, the one that can save, the ones that can have the money to help others and to do whatever it is. Thank God for all those things that you are able to see. All right. Now, for the Sunday school lesson for August the 23rd, speech is for healing and refreshment. James, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 12. This is the Sunday school lesson. All right. As we begin this portion here of the Sunday school lesson, James, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 12, reality of faith tested by control of the tongue. Controlling the tongue. That's a powerful thing. And it only can be controlled through the Holy Spirit, through God. The longer we live, the more accurately we are aware of the power of the tongue to destroy. Let me read that again. I know that the lesson appeared long today, and it may be long, but we are up to nearly 45 minutes now in this lesson. And we have not covered it thoroughly of the verses James 1 through 12. But listen. The longer we live, the more accurately we are aware of the power of the tongue to destroy. From the days when we were hurled schoolyard taunts of insults or were on the receiving end of those, we realized the power of words to hurt or damage. Every generation seems to learn this lesson the hard way. Consider, for example, the impact of social media in the world in general and in the church in particular. with fingers typing as an extension of the tongue. Christians argue sharply with each other about faith, politics, and so forth. And publicity, visible Facebook threads, prominent ministers, artists quarrel with one another on Twitter. Relationships are strained and are broken on ill-considered tweets of 280 characters or fewer. What would the Bible writer say about such practices? Lord have mercy for today's time. What a powerful word. What a powerful word. Bite your tongue. Bite your tongue. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. One scratch of a match burns up a whole forest. One spark of lightning burns up a whole forest. Bite your tongue. Boast. Here's some key words for you. Lesson aims. As a result of experiencing this lesson, the participant should be able to do these things. Explain how bites and bitters and ships, rudders, and small spark illustrates the power of the tongue. The bridle, the bridle, and the ropes that guide a horse as it moves. The small rudder that steers a ship. The rudders, the bites and bridles, a different thing. Sparks will start a whole fire, burn up a whole house. Spark in the kitchen from electrical spark burn down the whole house. Repent of those things when the use of that tongue has ignited a destructive fire. When was the last time your tongue started a destructive fire? Your tongue can start a destructive fire. The power of the tongue. Practice controlling the tongue so that it becomes consistently a source of healing and refreshment to others. The tongue can destroy you. The tongue can destroy other people. The tongue can destroy the whole organization. Just one tongue that's speaking evil and doing wrong. And it can heal a whole organization. I'll help people, a whole organization. Key terms, boast. How about your boasting? That's a Greek word. What do you boast about? Taunt. Are you arrogant? What about how do you behave with your word? Obey. What about, are you a person that obey? Are you rebelling against everything the preacher said? Are you rebelling against everything that takes place in the company? Are you rebelling at everything that takes place at the job, the way you work? What are you doing? Are you obeying? Are you being obedient? Are you being a source of destruction in that environment? It is affecting not only you, but other folks all around you. Perfect. Complete in all parts, especially of the completeness of Christian character. God can help you be perfect in your relationship, in your words that you speak through the Holy Spirit, if you let Him guide you. Stumble. We stumble and fall, but we get back up. Stumble. The fall, that's a Greek word. All of these are Greek words that we are speaking. And when I boast, obey, perfect, stumble. These are Greek words. Fall, sin, error, transgress. We all have fallen short of the grace and the power of God, but we get back up through the Holy Spirit. Teacher, you can be a teacher. You can instruct. You can be a master. You can do what's right by knowing what God wants you to speak through the Holy Spirit. Study His Word. Speak good things. Don't speak bad things. Speak good things. The tongue within your mouth, that small instrument, that small gland, an organ of tongue, speech, and member of the body language. Speak words of truth and love. All right, let's go to the lesson. Why this lesson matters. The spoken word can be either an affirming or destructive force in the lives of vulnerable humans. How can we affirm force prevail in human interaction? James informed believers that that can only be done through the discipline required in taming the tongue can be the fruits of godly wisdom be made visible in our lives and other. It only comes through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The lesson focus. What can we say about the tongue? Today we share a short story. A short story about a group of short story groups saying so answer this question. There is a common story across the internet and in many books of illustration. A man who was a strong believer in Christ and always telling his family about the Lord set out on one day to build a wooden trestle to support a climbing tree. As he pounded away, his nephew came outside to watch him. The younger didn't say a word, so the uncle kept on working, thinking the nephew would just leave, but he didn't. He finally, when the man asked, "Well, son, are you trying to pick up on some pointers or gardening?" "No," he replied, "I'm just waiting to hear what a Christian say when he hits his thumb with a hammer. Oh, look at that. There is a weapon. There is a weapon that is more powerful than the other weapons known to man, and it has been experienced since the creation of mankind. It has been known to start wars, rumors, friendship, spark national revolution. It has ruined more reputation, wrecked more home, split more churches, driven more men out of the ministry, caused more hatred than any other weapon in the world. Talking about the tongue. Contrary to our popular opinion, the most powerful weapon in the world is not the atomic bomb, nor is it some laser beam aimed from outer space. Indeed, it is not even a weapon made by man. Concealed as a sniper, quick as a bullet, and deadly as a gun, it is the three-inch animal that lives in the pool of saliva behind the every cage of teeth known as the tongue. Get this and understand this, my Christian. The most powerful word and weapon of destruction is you and the tongue that's in your mouth. You can use that weapon to save and destroy, or you can use that weapon to love and be kind. Don't use that tongue to destroy. Use it for good. Speak of Christ good. There is incredible, awesome power in the tongue. The lesson in context. James continued natural progression in chapter 3 that he started in chapter 1 and he continued in chapter 2. His premise was simply, a person's action puts his or her belief on public display. James was sharing the notion that talks was cheap. Actions were what mattered. In chapter 3, James focused on the tongue and on the words we say. He drew compassion and contrast between heavenly and worldly wisdom. Look at what is taking place in the president election. What the president, Donald Trump, says and what the one that wants to be president says. Look at past presidents and what they said and how they behaved. It is now the president has unleashed, in the words of the one that's contending for their office, the darkness, the evil, the side, the hatred side of human. You can do good with the tongue or you can do evil with the tongue. You can speak good with the tongue or you can speak evil with the tongue. We begin our study in James chapter 3. Today we conclude next week in verses 1 through 12. James demonstrates how a living faith has the ability to control the tongue. He begins chapter 3 with a caution about becoming a teacher. His caution includes himself. He next shared about the outside power of the tongue because it is so small compared to the large damage it can create. Verses 3 and 4 and verses 5 and 6. James spoke about the dangers of the tongue, the truth that the tongue reflects a person's true belief. Sooner or later, the tongue will tell the tale of a person's true self. What's going on in your heart? As sooner or later, that tongue gonna reveal that. In the final section of today's lesson, James emphasized how difficult it is to tame the tongue, how difficult it is to change the tongue. Who would judge strictly? Who stumbles in many ways? What examples did Jesus, James, you describe the tongue? What is the tongue like? What can tame the tongue? Why did James reference fig trees and grapevine? Let's look at insight. Reading verse 5 reminds me of the fable about the lion and the mouse. Many of us have heard the story of how a little mouse mistakenly ran across the nose of a lion, waking up the mighty lion. The poor mouse begged for mercy. He told the lion that he would repay him one day. The lion laughed, but let the mouse go anyway. Sometime later, the mighty lion was caught in a hunter's trap. Wouldn't you have known the little mouse came to the rescue? The little mouse didn't seem like much, but it would made a big difference. Our tongues are small, but can make a big difference too. Unfortunately, our tongue can make a big difference in a very negative way, just like a small spark can start a mighty forest fire. And let's look at exploration. This is to us. Listen closely. You can consider opening by asking yourself and those that are listening to you as you talk or give encouragement or words of wisdom and understanding about a time when they had to bite their tongue. What about a time you had to bite your tongue? You couldn't say what you wanted to say because it would release undamaged others in the vicinity that in which you were speaking. You should then share from one of the lessons introduction as you guide yourself and those that are listening through the lesson exposition, you should keep the following points, emphasis in mind. You can learn new concepts using comparison and metaphor. Some of the students may have been wounded by the callous use of the tongue. Yet you can be careful of what you say. One of the most powerful things is don't cry fire in a crowded building. You know that folks are scared of fire. There is no fire, and you yell fire. Folks can't get out. They suffocate trying to get over each other. They'll step on each other. Don't do that. That is the most clearest thing, that don't yell fire in a crowded building. Don't do that when you know there ain't no fire. All you're going to do is damage people and hurt people. People will respond to those who can use the spoken word to inspire and motivate. The spoken word, God made flesh. Speak it, use it in the right manner. All right, you should close by challenging yourself and those that you're speaking words of wisdom to the principle of today's lesson into practice, especially on their job and in their personal interactions. All right, let's go. James, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 12. All right. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that ye shall receive the great condemnation. Oh, man. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and be able to bridle the whole body. You can control your tongue, but it must be done through the Holy Spirit. When you offend one, you offend others and all. Be careful of what you say. My brethren, be not many masters. Don't let 50,000 things run you. You are tossed and turned and going all the other directions. Let Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit guide your tongue and your body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us and turn about their whole body. Look at that. Behold, the ship which goes through the mighty ocean and driven through fierce winds, yet they're turned by a small hem, whosoever the governs that listen. Oh, look at that. A small thing turning round and round, guiding a gigantic ship. Oh, just imagine the men that was on the Titanic and was weaving through the cold sea at night and the icebergs and things, that if they'd been wise and understanding where they were and what was taking place and how to manage and maneuver and not assume that the powerful ship would withstand anything, if they did it with caution and guidance and knowing where they were in the water and different things and understand how cold the water be at night and the ice in the water. Oh, so many things that were misscrewed and not interpreted led to danger. All right. James begins chapter 3, teaching about taming the tongue. We would think that he could use average believers as his focal group. Instead, he focused on teachers. Why? The problem chose teachers for two reasons. He probably chose them for two reasons. First, they use their tongues a lot. Teachers, we talk a lot. Be careful what you teach. Teach word, teach truth, teach wisdom. There were bound to be times when their students would get on their last nerve and some unsavory word emerged. Second, James had no doubt heard about some believers wanting to be teachers to enjoy their highest social status associated with that position in the first century. James included himself in the admonition of teachers, and when he said, "We who teach," verse 1, the warning was that who teach will be judged more strictly, because you have more power. You have the power of the tongue. You have the power of word. You can twist it. You can teach wrong. You can lie. Think about folks in Congress and people with different things. Are they teaching right? Are they doing what's right? Are they saying what's right? Are they speaking with right facts? Are they lying to folks? Are they trying to do it for political gain? What's going on there? Expand on what Jesus said in Matthew 12, 36 through 37. Part of the tree known by its fruit. A tree is known by its fruit. In other words, you are a tree, and what you experience is the results of what's inside of you. It's going to come out. If they could, they would have the discernment to be perfect in every other way. He was speaking rhetorically because he knew that Jesus was the only perfect person to ever live on earth. James used the example of the horse bit, the ship rudder, to illustrate how something relatively small controls something relatively large, able to bridle the whole body. Oh, the big body, whoa, in the small tongue that control all that you do with your hands and your feet and your eyes and things. It must be done. Okay, let's go to the next outline. Christians should not rush into this assignment without qualifying gifts. Oh, as being a teacher, look at that, look at that. Recall childhood chants. Stricken stones may break my bone, but word would never hurt me. Oh, that we find out that is not to be true. They can either heal you or hurt you, according to how they are spoken and who they are spoken to and when they are spoken to you. Look at that. Does that turn that up upside down? Sticks and stone may break your bone. Oh, but words can break your bones forever and stones your heart forever. Listen. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasted great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindled. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. It is the tongue among our members that is defiled the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fires of hell. Ooh, that's why when I pray, I say, God, in spite of my iniquity, I may be doing what I think is absolutely right and could be deadly wrong. If I'm not guided in knowing what I need to say and what I need to do by the Holy Spirit. Was what God left him to guide me and show me how to teach and live among her fellow men. Let's go to verse 7. For every kind of beast, of bird, of all the serpent, of things of the sea is tame and had been tamed of mankind. Oh, look at that. Boom. You can tame anything, but guess what? You cannot tame the tongue. Lord, unless the Holy Spirit guides you from your brain, from your spirit, with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's why you need to repeatedly understand the Holy Word so that you can control this powerful instrument in your mouth, the tongue. All right. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Again, but the tongue no man can tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. James spoke of the tongue as if it operated independently, boasting great things, verses 5 through 8. This must be tempered with Jesus saying about the role of the heart and what comes out of the mouth, Matthew 12, verses 34 through 35. Controlling the heart then becomes key to controlling the tongue, to ensure that his readers fully understood the trouble of an uncontrolled tongue. James shared 4 interconnected statements of warning. First, the uncontrolled tongue is a fire. Do you know what fire is? No man can put fire in his bosom and not be burned. You understand that? Ready to consume the speaker and those spoken to. Fire. Fire. Second, it is a word of evil. Evil. All of us itself it takes over the life of the speaker. Look at that. Evil. The deception, the deceiver, the liar, Satan. He is behind it. He can twist your words. He can twist your words. And you can say them in what is not even the right way. What did he do with Eve? He beguiled Eve in the garden through the words of a snake. Used the words of a snake. That's why the symbol is this lesson is using of a snake. The guile, the trickery. Third, the controlled tongue will corrupt the whole body. It will corrupt the whole body in everything that it do. Look at that. Making it unrecognized to what we've said. What are we doing today into this day as we listen here? Oh, the uncontrolled tongue consumes the life of the speaker in his life and leads to eternal damage and hell fire. Ooh, the word hell is the Greek gizernik that is used only in terms of the New Testament outside of the synoptic gospel. Using human knowledge is useless in taming the tongue. It will not work. You need the Holy Spirit to can control the tongue. You need the guidance of God, the power of his word made flesh through Jesus Christ to control that tongue. To prove that point, James mentioned how humankind had tamed all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures, but not the tongue. Look at that. Because it never rests. Human beings were just not able to control the tongue. Now for the last outline, verses 9 through 12. This lesson has been lengthy. We are over an hour yet, but it is the word of God that has to be brought out and tested and put in place for you to understand. It may be the last time. It may be your last time you hear me. It may be the last time you hear me speak over the tongue and the dangers of that. But I must know, and you must know. Let's look at verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therein curse we men, which were made after the similitudes of God. Look at that. Blessing and cursing coming out of tongue. Look at that. Therefore blessed be we God, even the Father, and therein cursed we men, which were made after the similitude of God. Made in the image of God, but we still can do wrong and corrupt and destroy things. Oh, you have the possibilities. Look at it. Pay attention to what God's word is saying about you as a human being and who we are. God made you similar. Look at your God. But guess what? You could be evil and destroying and send people to hell and harm people with your mouth and with your tongue and what you say. Out of the same mouth, spirits, blessings and cursing. My brother, these things ought not be so. Oh, you can't do both. You can't be both. You can't be good and evil at the same time. You can't get salt water and other water out of the same place. You got to come with one or the other. God's truth. You can't be both. You are like a storm on the sea, the rushing winds going different directions. Be with Jesus Christ and do what is good. Doth the fountain of forth the same place, sweet water and bitter? Look at that. No, you can't do it. One going to be sweet, one going to be bitter. You can't have them both coming out of the same fountain. Can the fig tree, my brother, bear olives and berries? No, no, no. After the vine and fig, no. So no fountain both yields salt water and fresh. Look at that. Do you understand, my brothers and sisters? Do you understand? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear fig? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water and salt water. Verses 9 through 12 records James' summary of this section of his writing. He begins with contradiction in terms. From the same tongue come both blessings with respect to the Lord and cursing toward human beings. Look at that. The honor of blessing the Lord with the same mouth that curses those that made his likeness verse had a parallel in 1 John 4:20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. Look at that. You can't love God and hate your brother, man. You can't do both. You can't do both. For he who does not love his brother whom he has not seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Woo! You can't love your brother whom you see every day, and you're talking about you're loving God whom you have not seen. What is that? Do you understand that, brothers and sisters? God whom he has not seen. James admonished against being two-faced. How many of you are two-faced? How many of you? In reminding of what Jesus called the two greatest commandments in Mark 12:30-31, we believers must love God and our fellow man, being without hesitation. Our word do mean something, reflect who we really are. That is what is going wrong within this United States of America. We claim and we love each other, and we do not. We came and we'll be one nation under God. We are not one nation under God. We are all hatred and evil and doing different things. Some are, some are not. Which side are you on? Are you on Jesus' side? Are you on the side of Satan? Are you on the dark side of evil, what comes out of men? Are you with the good things that come out of Jesus Christ? And do you really love your brother and sister, black and white? Do you? That's the question. That's why we're in trouble right now in this country. It's about love. You don't love each other. You do not love each other. If you did love each other, you would do right by each other. You say you love, but you are hating. You say you love, but you are holding back. You say you love, but you are prejudiced on the job. You say you love, but you do the Japanese, the Mexican, the Puerto Rican, the German, and anybody else that's not like you, you do them wrong. You got to be fair. You got to be just on the job. That is why James' metaphor, verses 11 and 12, presents the implausible of a Christian spirit, both praise and cursing. No one would expect to drink salt water from a fresh water spring. Likewise, we would not expect to harvest grapes from fig trees or figs from grapevine. This concept is further affirmed in Luke's gospel. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart bring forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bring forth evil. Look at what is being done and said today in this world called the United States of America and across the world, from Russia to China to Germany to Spain, Hungary, wherever you are. Look at what is being said and what is being done. Out of their mouths comes good. Out of the mouths comes evil. And whatever comes out evil is revealed from what's from the inside. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Luke 6:45. A tongue that speaks good belongs to a person with a pure heart. Do you understand that? The reverse is also true. Having both praise and curses coming from the same tongue is just as untenable as darkness and light. Did you hear about darkness and then light through the person contending, Joseph Biden, who has experienced so much pain and death in his family that he has overcome? God has made him a mourning vessel of empathy for those that are crying in pain and die in death from his own personal life. He knows what it means to have empathy for somebody compared to the president. I'm speaking from what I believe, what I'm saying. Do not be swayed by it. Let God lead you in making your decision about who to vote for this election coming up. I'm only using God's words here now to say somebody always speaking evil and bad stuff all the time about this, that, and the other. Just saying it is what it is. You know, they don't care. That's from my perspective. It is what it is from the perspective of a reality of life and death. Love, light and darkness, sin and evil, good and evil. What then is the cure for doom being double-tongued? We will get the answer in next week's lesson, James, the 3rd chapter, 13 through 18. You make sure you tune in for next week's lesson. The lesson topic on Sunday, August the 30th, 2020, is Wise Up, Wise Up. Devotional reading in Psalms 32, 1 through 11. The background scripture is James, the 3rd chapter, 13 through 18, the 5th chapter, 7 through 12, and the printed text is James, the 3rd chapter, 13 through 18, the 5th chapter, verses 7 through 12. Powerful lesson for today. Make sure you read your study home daily reading for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Our closing prayer. First, I thank God for the spirit in which is indwelling in me, which I've spoken to you tonight. And the lesson is always done in the early morning hours, late hours, because the quietness inside of the studio and in the house. I thank God for that opportunity. All right. We hope you were able to share the lesson. It's been long. We're up to an hour and 10 or 15 minutes. But we thank you all. We thank you all for listening. From the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church down at Tunnel Spring, where Reverend Waylon Oliver is our pastor. Our closing words of prayer. Gracious God, we ask you to assign your Holy Spirit as our firefighters, putting out the sparks of the words before they ignite a firestorm of hurt. Words coming from the tongue that is inside this head of mine, hid behind the two teeth of upper and lower and the saliva in my mouth. Thank you, Jesus, that I will be able to control this tongue through the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for no man can tame it, but you can through the Holy Spirit. We ask for your guidance in everything we do and say. We ask your guidance, Jesus. We thank you in advance for helping us along the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, thank you for the lesson. This one was a little lengthy, but God's word had to be shared today as it is given to me. God bless you. On behalf of all of us here at Antioch Baptist Church, Reverend Oliver, and all of the deacons and all the ushers and everybody that make up Antioch Baptist Church, be safe, obey, and do what is needed to be done. To our children that are going to school, God be with you and guide you and keep your focus on what you need to do. These are many blessings. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. See y'all again. Talk next week. Bye now. Love y'all.